Hello, and welcome to the One Thing podcast, where we all get to learn how to practice dancing with the one thing that individuals, communities, and countries have yet to try. I'm Lori Morse, and with me is David Gruder, and we're excited that you are with us. Thank you for being with us.
We sure are, and we're really excited about our topic for today's episode, because this topic is on something called Homo Deus. That's Homo as in Homo erectus, Homo sapiens, and Deus, D-E-U-S, as in God, because what Homo Deus translates into English from the Latin is humans as God, and that is the next chapter in the development of humanity. But the big question is, which of the two versions of humans as God are we going to collectively embrace?
Right. And we thought it would be a good idea to sort of reverse engineer what we mean by God. We're actually not talking about religion. We're not talking about which religion is better or worse, or, you know, the one. We're actually talking about the source of all life, and we've referred to it in past podcasts as our I Am presence. So if we reverse engineer this and we go back to before we incarnated or before we became extensions of all that is in individual form, let's just play with me here for a minute. Let's just assume that there was this big soup of energy and there was no differentiation in that energy. And so that energy decided that it wanted to have an experience of itself as unique and different and not just one same energy, right? And last week we talked about, I think it was last time, we talked about the unified field and how the unified field, the quantum field, is a fabric of love, right? So if we can think about this soup of life force, it is just this sort of ocean of love. And so in order to have an experience of itself as different, unique versions of love, and the purpose of that actually is to expand love, the choice was made, because a creator has the capacity to choose to extend itself as individual expressions, and that means you and I. And so if there's this life force here, and then there's these, you know, there's obviously billions of it, but we're just going to use, like, you know, a good example that we can get our mind around right now. There are these extensions of this life force. And one of those extensions is you, and one is of those extensions is me, and the other extensions are everybody that we know. It stands to reason that we're not separate from that energy, right? So we're just smaller versions, we're expressions of that same energy. And that's how we can say Homo Deus. And you know, I can wait to say that next part, but that's the thing to remember. And unfortunately, our human mind has forgotten that. And so one of our purposes in having these conversations is to remember, right?
Yes. And this conversation is more important today than ever, because despite all of the changes we've already seen and all of the developments we've already seen in technology, we've barely begun to scratch the surface. I mean, we're moving into a time period now where the very fabric of DNA, human DNA, is being played with. And so we're basically playing with the building blocks of life at this point in the evolution of humanity. And so this whole question about, are we going to play God or are we going to embody Source? There really are two versions of Homo Deus. And it's crucial, in my opinion, and I think in your opinion as well, Lori, that we as humanity walk into this next huge explosion in technological and biological development in humanity with eyes open and hearts open and spirits developed, so that we can navigate this, because one version of Homo Deus is terminal and the other is transformational.
Right.
So we're going to go into both of those now.
Yeah, and just one more thing I'd like to say, maybe two. When we forget that we're an extension of the source of life, there seems to be a separation from the source of life. And that separation is a classic division between like our small human self and the part of us that is connected to the source of all life, the presence that we are, if we're aware of it, if we're consciously aware of it. And we see those divisions everywhere now, don't we? And I think I think it's like a one of those things where it's hidden in plain sight. Like this division is in science and spirituality, there's both, right? Like science, there's room for science in inside of spirituality and vice versa. Is it what do we call that? Global warming or just natural causes? What if it's a little bit of both? And what if we're just being called to, you know, stop poisoning the earth, those kinds of things. Like that's just one thing that we could do. And there's divisions everywhere that we could point to, but I think you get the point. And the other thing that I know that in this idea of Homo Deus is that there's this thinking, and it's usually from the small human mind that it's human beings have dominion over all things. And actually, I'd like to just touch on that a little bit. What I believe that to mean is that human beings may be considered the dominant species only because they have conscious choice. But that doesn't mean that we still don't have reverence for all life and that we don't honor all of life, right? But having a conscious choice to connect to this source of all life and then co-create in good ways is what I take having you know, being a part of the dominant species to mean. And that means the difference between terminal and transformational in some ways too.
Yes, and you're reminding me of that famous line from Spider-Man's grandmother, which was, "With great power comes great responsibility."
Right.
And that's really what we're talking about now, because we human beings do have an unprecedented amount of power, at least in recorded history, an unprecedented amount of power to harm or respect our planet with global consequences, regardless of what you, like Lori said, regardless of what you believe about how much of human impact is impacting climate change and how much of other natural rhythms is impacting that. Independent of where you stand on that, the what is that human beings now have the capacity to annihilate humanity with nuclear weapons. We have the capacity to do massive harm to ecosystems on the planet. We have massive capacity to use the internet, which is instantaneous global communication, to spread lies or to create or offer illumination. The power that we have as a species today is unparalleled in recorded history. And because with great power comes great responsibility, if we move forward from an egotistical place, we're going to play God, like you're saying, Lori. We're going to pretend that we're the boss of this planet, and this planet is ours to do with whatever we want, rather
And
than that
for the
we're
record, that is how
stewards.
we've been doing it.
We've become increasingly, well, I don't want, really want to say we've become increasingly egotistical, because that's pretty timeless. But the impacts of our egotism have become astronomically more potent than they've ever been. And so we no longer have the luxury of pretending that coming from a place of ego rather than spirit or higher awareness or higher self, again, like what Laurie was saying earlier, whatever you call that, we no longer have the luxury or the opportunity to come from a place of ego. the consequences and the impacts are far too dramatic now compared to ever before in recorded history.
Right. I think part of what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the momentum of buildup of choosing ego over connection is at a peak greater than it ever has been in human history. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, all we have to do is look out and see. And one of the things that I know, and I've heard this from spiritual teachers, but you know, now I sort of feel it in my cells, is that when we're connected to the source of life, when we're connected to our higher presence, which is wisdom and intelligence and a use of power that is correct, it's not abuse and it's not abdication, it's an aligned power. And what does power mean? Really, it just means using our actions and our activities in good ways, right? For individual and collective good.
Power is influence.
As influence, as impact.
Impact.
Yeah, I mean, all one would have to do, you know, if one wanted to choose the simple version of this, is sit on a park bench or a street corner and just breathe in that centering, right? It would have impact. But there was somewhere I was going with that, which was, is that when we're in that connection, there isn't any sort of impulse or drive or interest in misusing the power and being irreverent with life. That's just like sort of not possible. So the work isn't, you know, to try to become like this perfect, the work is to become more and more connected with every breath as every day unfolds. That's the work. And to allow ourselves to be taught by this presence of life, not only what our next step is, but what does it mean to live in that centering, that it does include power. This isn't a passivity piece. This is a power piece, but in right timing and in right use for whatever the circumstances are.
Yes, I really want to underline that, because this is the opposite of shirking or running away from or repressing our power. We are immensely powerful, and to pretend anything other than that is delusional. The issue is, from where inside us are we going to allow that power to be channeled, to be expressed? And that's the Homo Deus question, because if we do the ego version of Homo Deus, we are going to destroy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we do the elevated, higher self version of Homo Deus, we are going to succeed over time at bringing heaven to earth.
Right. And for those of you who might be thinking, oh, we're screwed, we're all going to hell in a handbasket, because all you have to do is look at the news and that would be your way of coming to that conclusion. It's my understanding, and this is, you know, I don't have any scientific facts to back this up, but I've heard it for so long, and it just resonates as true in my heart. You know, as much as I love science and I love the discoveries of science, there's also, you know, room for me to sort of drop into my heart and just be guided to truth, right? So what I mean by that is, apparently humanity has already passed the point of annihilating ourselves. I mean, we still could make that decision, but the momentum that has gotten built over the last, let's just say, you know, 50 to 100 years, much of it we don't see, because none of this is reported in mainstream media. You know, anyway, the momentum that has been built is now successfully heading in the direction of this greater collective transformation for good. So the question isn't, will we get there? And oh my gosh, you know, how terrible is everything that we see? That's not the question. The question is, how long will it take us? And that's why we're here together, is that why, if we can get there, you know, in a pace that is not long and drawn out and isn't a slog, why wouldn't we opt for that?
Yes. And so part of the opportunity here is to accelerate the speed at which we get there. The other part is, even if we don't annihilate humanity, and I agree with you, my worldview is like yours, that we're past the point of of destroying ourselves in terms of collective momentum. There's still a lot of cleanup, obviously, and elevation that needs to happen in that area. However, even if we start with the premise that that's so, we're still not off the hook in terms of Homo Deus, because there are all kinds of experiments that are going on right now and all kinds of developments that are going on right now that have the potential to turn human beings into cyborgs,
Right. No,
to be
I don't
actually
mean
birth an entirely new species
Right.
that's a hybrid of organic matter and artificial intelligence.
And I didn't mean to imply that we're off the hook. I really meant to imply that we're not going to annihilate ourselves. So since that's the case, we have some work to do. And part of the work is this conversation that we're having so that we don't take ourselves off track again and go into this other realm of AI, cyborg, I don't know, what would you say, non way that we're supposed to be as human beings.
And that's, I think it's really important that our viewers, our listeners, understand that this is a very unresolved question about this point, at this point in time. We don't know whether 30 or 50 or 100 years ago, years from now, rather, not ago, years from now, whether we're going to be purely organic organisms still, or if we're going to be organic plus other things. We don't know. And the technology for us to become hybrids is emerging very, very rapidly.
And
This
here
is playing God.
exactly. And here's the I think one of the important components to if there's a fork in the road and we go hybrid or we go organic, right? This fork, if we do not have ourselves in our heart, we stand a greater chance to go down the wrong path. I don't want to say the wrong path, but the path that isn't, our design, let's
We
say.
have a greater chance of going down either path in the wrong way.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I don't presume to know what the future evolution biologically and
Design is right.
technology-wise is of humanity. What I do presume to say is that no matter which path we end up going, if we don't make those choices step by step by step from a higher love and wisdom-based awareness, we could end up making the quote unquote right choice for the wrong reasons, and it could end up backfiring anyway. The
Good answer.
mindfulness around the emergence of Homo Deus is nothing short of massive. And that's why we're doing this episode today, in order to attempt to drive that point home.
And the one thing is this full connection with this aspect of our being. It's said that we're 96% non-physical and 4% physical. So I might have even said this before. We have all our focus on this physical experience in our lives. And that 96% is that presence and that one thing and that heart and that coherence and that field and that intelligence and wisdom and divine mind, if you will, and as well as love, if I didn't already say that. That's what we're looking to invite each of our listeners to just explore in themselves. I can guarantee you, if you explore that from the place, because this is just my experience, right? From the place of openness and, a real willingness to want to feel and know and have an awareness of this part of yourself, you won't be disappointed. Right? You won't be, there won't be closed doors in your face. All it requires is a heartfelt question.
Yes. And actually, we're going to put two questions to you. I'll put the first of those two to you. And that is based on the notion that Homo Deus is not optional. It is inevitable. We're already there. So, which version of Homo Deus are you going to choose for yourself? The terminal version, the ego-based version, or the transformational, higher wisdom, higher love version of Homo Deus? And how will you do that? How will you accomplish embodying that choice that you make?
Right.
That's the first of the two questions.
And if you want to also contemplate this question, which is which version will help humanity choose? And honestly, there's not really much else you have to do except for embody it yourself, which also will help humanity choose. So will you do that? Did I ask that question right?
Which version will we collectively, each of us individually and in our groups, help humanity choose? Are we going to help humanity choose the terminal version, or are we going to help humanity choose the transformational version?
Right. And all we have to do is our own part. All we have to do is choose this for ourselves, and then there will be a momentum and a ripple effect that allows for more and more of us to, to choose the same thing for good and tip the scales sooner rather than later.
Indeed. So, are you ready for me to do a little teaser about the next episode, or was there something further you wanted to say about this theme of Homo Deus first?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we're good to tease the next episode.
Okay. Well, our next episode is going to be on the essentially the contrast to or the opposite of the one thing, which if you say the one thing, the abbreviation would be TOT. Then the opposite of that is TOA. The opposite of the one thing is the one addiction. So we're going to be talking about in the next episode the one addiction that is the one thing that keeps us from the one thing.
Right. Exactly. Are you curious?
I hope you are because it's going to be another juicy episode. So until next time, remember to dance with your better half.